Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Stephanie Epstein is on a phone line. She's a Sports Illustrated baseball writer, and she wrote a piece that people across the country are talking about titled Bursting the Bubble. Stephanie, you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
Hi, thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, where do you live? Are you out of New York? Where do you write from?
Yes, I'm based in New York, in the city.
Oh, yeah, how do you like, I mean, that's what it's like downtown Chicago. Is it like that in New York City as well?
Yes, it's very eerie. Streets are empty. When I go for runs, I can run down the middle of the street now.
Yeah.
It's pretty bizarre.
Well, it's kind of what we do in Chicago because somebody may be on the sidewalk and we're so leery about getting close to somebody that if you're driving a car, you've got a lot of bicycles out there and a lot of joggers in the middle of the street right now.
Right. Yeah, you got to stay 6 feet away.
Yeah, no kidding. One last thing about that in New York. We do a web poll question here at the radio station. We call it our news click. And today's news click is New York is going to require its residents to wear a mask when not socially distanced. Should we do it here in Illinois? 79% of our respondents said yes, but 21% said no. You guys are going to have to wear a face mask there, huh?
Yeah, I think it's from everything I've read, it seems like the right public health decision. The mask seems like it's more about protecting other people from you than protecting you from them. But that also gives clearance to people who do have the virus or people who have symptoms to wear them. And there are so many asymptomatic carriers that even if you don't think you have it, it's helpful as sort of a social decision for everyone to wear them.
And that's sort of the bent that your article took, because rather than asking general managers, agents, and players, hey, do you want to go back and play sports, you talk to epidemiologists, doctors, and scientists. And what are they telling you about the return to sports as we know it?
Yeah, I felt like I had heard a lot about from people in the sports world who wanted to play, and of course they want to play. That's, you know, we would hope they would want to play, and we want to watch them. But I felt like I hadn't gotten a really good sense from people who know science how feasible some of these plans are. So, and to be fair, I'm sure there are a range of opinions across science in general, but the people I spoke to seemed pretty united that this was going to be a lot more difficult than people make it seem.
It's funny because we might feel comfortable going to the stands or might be more able to go back to our offices or even restaurants, but sports stadiums present a unique problem in a way, don't they?
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, if you don't want to have 40,000 people crammed into the stands. There was a soccer game in northern Italy that scientists are now calling a biological bomb because it seems like some people who attended that game were infected, and that's part of why the outbreak in Italy. And then one of the teams was from Spain, and so that may have kicked off some of the outbreak in Spain as well.
Oh, that's fascinating.
You want to be really careful we don't recreate that. Yeah.
It's funny because in Connecticut, I know there was a party that was held in, I think, February or earlier, much earlier this year. And they can trace the spread of that to other countries and to a large part of New York from this one party that was held in Connecticut early on. And then those people went out and interacted with people. And they think that might be sort of not patient one, but party one anyway. So then the idea is, right, Stephanie, the fix will be, okay, fans don't go. Let's just have the NBA or at least MLB play in Nevada or Arizona. How plausible do the doctors say that is?
I think the first hurdle we have to clear is there has to be ubiquitous testing, because they can't do this unless they're confident that everyone, that all of the players are negative, and they have to, you know, that status can change over time, even if you're being as careful as you can, because sometimes, you know, somebody touches somebody who touched somebody. So you have to be really careful there. So they would want, the safest way to do it would be to test every day if possible, or certainly multiple times a week. And we certainly can't be testing, you know, professional athletes thousands of times if our healthcare workers can't get those tests. So that would be the first hurdle we have to clear. One of the scientists I spoke to said he was hopeful that by mid-May we might start seeing people be able to get tested, and that would certainly help. Then you also have the question of any major sporting event has an ambulance parked outside in case somebody gets hurt. So can we spare the medical workers, the EMTs? Can we spare the masks and gloves that they would need to treat those athletes if somebody tears an ACL, can we spare the surgeons and the nurses and the other doctors who would have to help them and would then also have to wear protective equipment to operate on them? It becomes it's a question of resources, certainly. Then okay, if we're quarantining them, they all have to stay in a hotel, then what about who's treating them? Who's cleaning? Is their housekeeping staff? Are those people would all have to be quarantined as well in order for the loop to be totally closed. But it's one thing. I mean, it's hard enough to ask these players to be away from their families for months. You're going to ask the hotel housekeeping to do that too? Then that means you have to pay them commensurately. And so all of a sudden this turns into there's a lot of people. I mean, I think it's easy to look and think that we're just talking about two basketball teams or two baseball teams, but actually there's so much support staff. I mean, you can be up over 1,000 people at a game pretty quickly.
Right, because, all right, so you've got maybe 25, 30 players on a baseball team in each dugout. Maybe not in the dugout. They might sit in the stands, socially distanced. But then you've got probably a crew that prepares the ball field, you know, the guys that roll the tape on out or rake it and water it down. You've got umpires. And then those people all need to be in that closed loop. I hadn't thought about this, but they can't go back to their families. They've got to stay in hotels. And their life for the duration of whatever the season is going to be is hotel to the ballpark, back to the hotel. That's going to be their life too. And then you say, okay, how many people does that touch? Well, if they're getting food from the restaurant, then you're imagining that the restaurant staff is going to be quarantined as well, right?
Yeah, it starts to, and it's the whole point of this is so that people at home can watch the games. Then you have to have a TV crew there. So all of a sudden you have to have sound operators. There have to be camera operators. Maybe the broadcasters themselves, the announcers can do it offsite, but a lot of those things have to be done on site. And yes, the food is an issue. I mean, at some point, the loop has to open up a little bit because you can't have farms in quarantine for this. But then the food delivery is an issue. You know, I wrote in the story, what if somebody walks by? What if everyone is behaving? No one is breaking quarantine in any way. But the person delivering groceries walks by somebody who coughs on the lettuce and somebody tests positive. Then you have to shut the whole thing down for 2 weeks while we make sure that nobody else caught it. And that's. I mean, at the end, that's the real issue. Even if you could solve all the other problems, we don't really have a better solution when someone tests positive than shutting it down for 2 weeks.
You also point out that and you think about this, in the major leagues, if a guy gets hurt, NBA too, they might pull somebody up from the D-League or from AAA or AA. Well, where are you going to get that pool of other players? If you wanted to call them up, they'd have to be quarantined for 2 weeks before they could enter the group, right?
Right,
or test negative, yeah.
Sure, but even then, you want more than one negative test usually to confirm that it wasn't a false negative. So that's a couple of days.
Yeah.
You have to. We can't. Even major league teams can afford to play in empty stadiums, but minor league teams can't. So we won't also have these guys playing, which means that the guy you're calling up is either sitting at home, doing squats with his 6-month-old. As to try to keep himself in shape, or you bring in a taxi squad of guys who are around the team all the time,
right,
which is just, and you prepare to call them up if you need to, which is fine, but then that's another, half dozen or dozen people who are away from their families, who are trying, just the numbers start to increase really quickly when you consider.
Okay.
Especially given right now, the way pitchers' arms are, you better hope 4 pitchers don't get hurt on the same day.
Yeah, we talked to one of them yesterday for the White Sox, and he kind of mentioned that. Stephanie Epstein's on a phone line, Sports Illustrated baseball writer, bursting the bubble. Those of you that want to go back to sports. So are they, last question for you, Stephanie, imagining a year from now? Or, I mean, are we going to have a baseball season based on what you're hearing from these people?
I think, to be honest, no, this is a really unsatisfying answer, but just no one knows. Things are changing so fast. If we do have ubiquitous testing by the middle of May, I think we could see sports, without fans in August or September if everyone continues to socially distance and we can try to tamp this thing down a little bit. But there are a lot of things that have to happen. And we can't really, it's hard to predict. Things change. I mean, by the time we get off the phone, there will have been 6 new developments.
Yeah,
so
no
it's hard to know.
Well, and I think
that far out.
A lot of us think, all right, they'll just play in empty stadiums or they'll play in Arizona, whatever. But nobody, I've not seen anybody drill down to logistically what does that mean. And you sure did. That's why it's titled Bursting the Bubble, Why Sports Aren't Coming Back Soon, in the latest issue of SI. Nice to talk to you, Stephanie. Thanks for your thoughts on this today.
Thank you for having me.